Lord God, may your spirit inspire us. Give us fresh insight, fresh understanding, and a deeper knowledge of you. Amen. So, Pentecost, it's a wonderful festival. It's a huge festival in the church's year. I feel like it's as big as Christmas and Easter, and yet it somehow isn't. I don't know how many of you were building up to Pentecost and knowing that it was coming and kind of had this sense of anticipation. We've sort of lost it in our general culture because we don't have it as a national holiday or anything. But it used to be. It used to be a whole week-long event in this country. It's Whitsun. Pentecost is Whitsun, White Sunday. And it was White Sunday because people were white, remembering the Holy Spirit coming. And Whitsun was actually the beginning, that Sunday was a beginning of a week off. It was a time when they closed the mills, because it was a time they did all the engineering work on the mills, but it meant that everyone, all the mill workers had a holiday for a week. There were fetes, there were festivals, there were sporting events. It was a big deal. And we've lost that, because they fixed the days of the spring bank holidays, and suddenly we don't get Whitsun week anymore. But that doesn't mean it's less of a big festival for the church. So why do we not make it such a big thing? I was thinking about it, and I wonder if some of it is because we don't talk about the Spirit enough and don't understand this mysterious Holy Spirit enough. So if Pentecost can, for some of us, feel like a little bit of a nerve-wracking festival. You know, when someone comes up the front and they call on the Spirit to fall on all of us, and then you hear that reading about tongues of fire and this breath, and you think, I'm not sure I want that to happen. It can feel a little bit nerve-wracking. So I wonder if we haven't talked about it a lot. But I love Pentecost. I love the Spirit. And not because it does those dramatic things, but because it is the Spirit of God that has been promised to all of us. The actual Spirit of God that moved over the waters at the start of creation. That Spirit of God that fell and came on people in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament times, it was only ever sort of one-off. For one person, for one specific occasion. And again, they were always quite dramatic events. Think of Samson and his godly strength. Think of David and his godly leadership. Think of the prophets, Ezekiel, Joel, who we heard about earlier. The Spirit came on people in the Old Testament for a purpose. They were filled with God's Spirit to have power to equip them to do a job. And always that job, the purpose of it, was to glorify God and tell people about God. That is the pattern. Now, some of you at this point have probably had enough of listening already and need to fiddle with your hands. I don't know, maybe that's just me. If you want to, we talked about the wind rushing in on that festival. No, that's not yet. Sorry, David, that's a bit later. That's the next bit when you've had enough of me talking. If you want to fold a fan whilst I'm talking so that you can fiddle with your hands and listen, then feel free to use the really bright paper to make your own fan and you can make your own wind in a polite way. So, the Spirit in the Old Testament came on individuals. And so God's Spirit, the Spirit of God, that is the Holy Spirit. That is why we call it holy as opposed to any other spirit with a small s. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, came on individuals. But Joel had this vision. Joel had this prophecy to say, one day, God is going to pour out the Spirit on everybody. And then it goes on to talk about some quite dramatic ways that the Spirit will help people. It will enable all of us to prophesy, all of us to dream dreams and have visions. Now, let's just remember, again, the prophets, they did dramatic things, but always prophecy is not about some miraculous predicting the future. It is always about telling God's word to the world. Prophecy is about letting everyone know more about God. So therefore, when God said the Spirit will fall on all of us, it is to equip us, to enable us to go out and tell the world about God. Now, for the disciples, in that story that Jim and Judy just read to us from Acts, in that moment, the Spirit came, and it did come in a very dramatic way, with the wind blowing through and the tongues of fire that seemed to rest on people's heads. But what it gave them, it equipped them to be able to tell everybody about this amazing thing that God was doing through Jesus. And it enabled them to say that to people who didn't even speak their own language. So they had this power to speak in a different language so that others could understand. We have begun to talk about this power, it's about speaking in tongues. It's a gift of the Spirit to enable people to speak in tongues, a language that they don't know necessarily. But always, the point of speaking in tongues is to enable someone else to understand something about the glory of God. I get really frustrated when we get hung up in the church about speaking in tongues as if it's some kind of badge to show that you're a proper Christian, to show that you've received the Spirit and therefore you've passed, you're in, and it's like proof. And that's never what the speaking in tongues is about. Speaking in tongues is always about the glory of God and being able to tell other people about God. And so if you can do that, if you experience that, that's amazing, that's wonderful. But it's not for everyone, because that's a very specific gift for a very specific reason. The Spirit actually falls on all of us in different ways and equips us and empowers us in different ways. I just want to give you a very personal little example for me of my experience of the Spirit filling me and equipping me. So in my early 20s, I went to Zambia. Actually, I was leading a group in Zambia where we were helping a local charity to build a school, a training school for mechanics. It was an amazing experience. I got to work alongside local people who taught me how to build, to make bricks and build this building. It was a phenomenal experience. But as part of the experience, there was a day when all the local schools were invited. So all the children would come together so that these people who have come over from England could lead them in a wonderful day of fun and games and songs, and maybe they'd hear a bit more about Jesus. There were about 150 kids expected. And as leader of the group that had gone out, I was expected to lead this day. Now, a little confession. At that time in my life, children scared me. Because you guys, you have so much intelligence, you have so much energy, and you know, you're not afraid to say what you think. And I found that really nerve-wracking as a young 20-year-old. I was like, oh, I want to stay away from children. So I had a cunning plan. I'm leading this group. I can find the other people in the group who like working with kids, and I can tell them to lead the day. Brilliant plan, gets me out of it. I don't have to do it. I can stand back and just supervise. There was a flaw in my plan. Turns out everyone in my 14-strong team felt the same as me about kids, and none of them wanted to have anything to do with this day. So I went, dear God, please help. Help. How are we going to lead this day? I am so ill-equipped. I have no confidence. I have no ideas. How are we going to lead this day? That was my prayer. Nothing happened in that moment. Let's not over-glorify this. I prayed the prayer. I got up and went, right, I best get on with it and plan something. And then ideas came. And a day formed in my head. And I grew more confident in these ideas that I'd been given and the stuff that we'd planned. And more confident in inspiring this team who didn't want to work with kids to be enthused about working with kids. And we had this day, and it was great. We had a lot of fun, and I suddenly found myself being able to say words that I didn't know were in me. I don't mean in a foreign language, I mean in English, but words I didn't know I had, ways of explaining things I didn't know I was able to do. And I had a confidence, and what's more, I had a joy in that day. It was a huge transformation. Not in some dramatic fire on my head kind of way, but for me, a massive transformation in outlook, in perspective, in what I could do. I knew I had been filled with the Spirit in that moment to do that job in that time. But what's more is it stayed. I came back to England, I joined the children's ministry team in my local church, and pretty much that began the journey that got me here today. That moment of being filled with the Spirit to be equipped to talk about God in the world. It's not necessarily in those miraculous ways that we can't explain that the Spirit fills us. Actually, if you look in the New Testament, there is a lot more writing about other things that the Spirit does rather than these sort of supernatural gifts that can sometimes feel a little bit scary to us. That's fair enough. The thought of something else taking over us can be a scary thought. But remember, this is the Spirit of God who is love. God who loves you. God who has good plans for you. And actually, the Spirit in the New Testament is often talked about in terms of inspiring us to understand Scripture, inspiring us to know Jesus better, filling us with a deep peace that passes all understanding, helping to grow God's characteristics in us, those characteristics of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are God's characteristics that God's Spirit grows in us. So when we talk about the Spirit coming at Pentecost, it is the most profoundly exciting moment of celebrating that we have access to God's Spirit doing all those things in us. So we are now going to explore that in our own ways. In this all-age service, we always have a response time when you can interact. So you can continue to fan people. If you want to, go around, practice what the gentle breath is like, what the wild wind might be like, if you want to. You might also, if you are a more sensory person, like to come to our sensory box up here. If you do want to come do this, bring an adult with you, especially those who are very little. I don't think we have many people who will try and eat the small bits here. But anyway, this is our sensory box. And you can imagine the Spirit being poured out on the disciples. So this is a fun way of imagining the Spirit. I don't know if you've ever imagined the Spirit looking like that, but hey, come and have a play and see. So you can come and play in the sensory box. You could also, what I would love to do, if we are equipped with the Spirit to tell the world about God, I would love us to put posters on our window on Mill Road in every different language we know that tells people that God loves them. Or just welcomes them, or just says hello. I love that we discovered the banner today that has all these different languages talking about the fact that the promise is for you. That's a little bit harder to put on the front because everyone will go, what is the promise? There's a bit more explaining that needs to go. But God loves you, or God is love, is a great one. So I've done a few. I found it in Italian, Spanish, French, Polish, and Welsh. Thought it's important to have the Welsh up there. Don't know why. Was struck by that. So if you want to come and colour some of these in or make your own, do some bubble writing of hello in as many different languages as you can find out, and then we can stick them on the window at the end. I know in this room there are lots of different languages already covered. So if you don't know them yourself and you don't have access to Google, go and ask someone who speaks a different language. There are many here. So you could do that. You could make some posters for our window. Or you can have a moment to imagine and chat to your neighbours about this. I would love you to do an exercise of imagination where you imagine yourself flying over Romsey Town. You might start at this church and you might spiral out and cover all the streets of Romsey. And I want you to imagine and try and discern and see where you think the Spirit is moving. All those ways that I described that is evidence of the Spirit in our lives. Maybe peace, maybe joy, maybe those fruits of the Spirit, maybe creativity, maybe love. Where do you see that in Romsey? And if you don't see it, where would you really like to see it? And how do you think we, as God's people here in this place, might enable the Spirit to flourish in that place? The Spirit is already there, can I just say that? God is already very much evident in rooms everywhere. We are sometimes called to help and join in. So where would you like to join in Romsey? So it's an exercise in imagination. And we can work together, chat with each other, and see where we go with the Spirit. And then after that, I'm going to bring us together and we'll have a time of just sitting with the Spirit for a moment and see where God moves us. It seemed like lots of conversations were happening, and I've seen people writing in various different languages, so I'm excited about the posters going up. I'm going to invite you now for just a moment. We're going to have a time of quiet to pray for God's Spirit to fill us afresh, to reignite a passion in us for God, maybe to bring us peace that we need to know. A peace that enables us to trust in God more. Maybe the Spirit will equip you for a task that needs to happen. Or just give you greater understanding. But we're going to have a time of quiet. If you feel moved to pray in that time, feel free to pray. Do it boldly and loudly so that everyone can hear. If you feel moved to sing, feel free to sing. We might all join in. But let's just see. And if we just spend time in quiet, then that's beautiful. So let's pray. Loving God, pour out your Spirit